This is URN. The Pulse Breakdown.
Hello everyone and welcome to The Pulse on URN. I'm David and today I'm joined by Beth, Bessie and Benedict. Indeed it is. Welcome back everyone to tonight's Pulse. Now we're going over to Bessie to tell us about, here's a tongue twister, complications surrounding the taxation of certain products.
That's right, I'm going to be talking about the tampon tax, which is going to be raised with the European Commission after a petition calling for a change in the law gained more than 250,000 signatures. However, MPs rejected the finance bill amendment yesterday calling for the government to cut tax on sanitary products on the basis that any change to the VAT rate will require a European Commission proposal and the unanimous agreement of all 28 member states. However, the UK government is said to sympathise with efforts to force negotiation with the EU for a reduction in the VAT rate on sanitary items. However, the UK is unable to apply a zero rating under EU law. Although the UK has set the VAT on sanitary products at the minimum rate possible under EU, the government continues to come under criticism from both the general public and politicians. Among items that are currently free from VAT include men's razors, children's nappies and even food products such as Jaffa cakes. However, sanitary products, widely considered to be an essential, continue to be taxed. And there appears to be a feeling within Parliament that their hands are tied and there's little more they can do, as such as EU law. But do you think the government should be trying harder to implement a zero VAT rate on sanitary products, seeing as other essentials like razors and nappies are rate-free?
Not to be controversial, but if men had periods, this would not be an issue.
So goes one of the old sayings. But I do agree that this is a ridiculous tax that I would assume, actually, given by the soundbites we've heard and given by the actions taken by our government, that we do not wish to implement and we would not implement if we had control over. Not to get into big picture territory here. I'm not going down that road. But it does sound like something that we're not too keen to implement, and we're implementing because we have to. But it seems ridiculous. There is, you said men's razors. Ladies' razors
I'm not sure about ladies' razors.
I think ladies' razors are taxed, which is a ridiculous.
Ridiculous, yeah.
Given that, I mean, I wouldn't know, but I'm assuming for the most part they're exactly the same thing.
I think it's more the packaging that's the difference than the way they market the razors and the actual razor. It's ridiculous, and things like I said, like Jaffa cakes are tax-free, and other food, luxury meats, I read, mince meats tax-free. However, something so such a necessity, like a tampon, is bad as got VAT on it. It's very ridiculous, and I think government feels uncomfortable about it, and they've put it at the minimum, the lowest they can, but their hands are really tied by EU law and they have to go through a commission and get 28 member states all to agree on it. And I think maybe they don't want to do that, or that was definitely why they rejected it.
You're definitely right, they do feel uncomfortable about it. There is a brilliant video circulating on Twitter at the moment of Stella Creasy earlier in Parliament getting a Tory MP to actually utter the word tampon, and the disgust and uncomfortableness on his face is kind of gold to watch, but just proves what a absolute barbaric issue this is. You can lobby the EU as much as you want. They have 28 member states. Each member state has women who will want tax-free essential hygiene products. It's unfair that a Jaffa cake has no tax, but we have to pay extra for our hygiene. It's ridiculous.
Well, aside from the fact that other brands of cake or biscuits are available, that was actually another court ruling that was made in European court as to whether a Jaffa cake is a cake or a biscuit.
If they can take the time to look at that, why not?
Well, why can they take the time to look at that? Because there is an old belief, which is follow the money and eventually you'll find politicians. So whilst in the case of the UK, we might not want to have the tax up, why was it passed in the first place? Why on earth did the European Commission pass such a ridiculous... It's the question that I'm asking rather than... I mean, I'm not... It's the rhetorical question that I'm asking.
Yeah.
I'm not...
panicked then.
Yeah, sorry about that. But I don't understand why that was done.
How can they not be classed as essential? We're not just going to go around bleeding. It's ridiculous.
I mean, it's also a red statistic that a woman spends on average almost £500 a year. This isn't, you know, small money we're talking about. Mm-hmm. This is quite a lot of money. I mean, there's a petition going around. I think it's garnered over 260,000 signatures. So this isn't something that's going to go away quietly as well, which I think only positive news.
Yeah, exactly. And the cost of luxury brands such as Tampax, etc., are really expensive. It can average up to about £3 a box, a minimum. Yeah. And that would be for a small box that won't even probably last your entire cycle. And then when you factor in poor people who can't afford this, the homeless, it is a major issue that isn't addressed. And I think it's great that it is being brought to Parliament, and people like Stella Frisi are doing such great advocation for it.
One of the things that's really annoying me as a man is that a lot of men are using this as an excuse to say, oh, you know, look, these feminists, you know, feminist Nazis. And it's just like, you can't really, first of all, it's a disgusting term anyway, but, you know, why would you apply it to something like this? This is a necessity. This is something that women, you know, physically can't do without. So I think, you know, I've been reading not for enjoyment, just for, you know, kind of interesting reasons, these men writing these horrific articles saying, well, how can women be complaining over such a small matter? It's a small matter to us, because to men, because it doesn't affect us, but to women it's a huge, huge pressure, and it's a lot of money they're paying as well.
I think above all, it's on a principle level. It's the fact it's not a massive amount of money, but it's the principle that you have to pay extra for something that is a necessity.
Yeah, it's the principle that some things that some people, half the planet need, assume half the population need, is considered essential, but the equivalent items for the other half aren't considered essential.
It's not essential that men shave. Like, you could have a beard and you can go about your daily life. If you're bleeding from a sensitive area for five days every single month, that isn't okay. That's not something you can live with. You can live with a beard, and you can live without having Jaffa cakes.
I think one of the main problems is, though, with a subject like this, is it could get into more of a debate over men v women rights more than the actual tax on tampons and sanitary things for women. So I think that you have to be careful not to make this an argument between men and women, and actually focus on the real matter, which is that it's ridiculous that they are paying for this sort of thing.
But anyway, I think we're all in agreement that it's a ridiculous tax, and we're all in agreement that it shouldn't be levied anyway. Or the other argument is that everything should be levied anyway. It's not the case that one thing shouldn't be, it's that things should be treated equally. So it does come down to a point how men are treated differently from women, and whether in some cases it's positive discrimination, or in this case, as it is, it's negative.
What I don't understand is why Britain is having such a trouble putting this down to zero. Why is the EUN is a barrier to us dropping this to zero?
Legally, it's a barrier.
It baffles me why that barrier exists in the first place.
We are one of the most powerful countries, if not the most powerful country in the EU. It's ridiculous. If David Cameron wanted to change it, he can get his act together, and he can.
But all it takes is one of those 28 member states, and it's going to go up. The number of states to join the EU is only going up. So you have to get all the agreement of all 28.
But isn't it worth the effort? I would think it was worth the effort. That's
given the current situation with Britain and the European Union, David Cameron is not going to focus on such issues, I would assume, and I would disagree with that decision, but I would assume that he's not going to focus on such questions when there are far more, I say pressing, but I mean constitutional things that are going to affect the bedrock of the country, which, again, you could argue that people are the bedrock of our country, and it's a fair argument, and I'm not saying I defend Cameron's decision, but I don't think that at the current time it would be prudent. We have to pick our battles wisely, so to speak.
Surely every single one of the 28 countries who is a member of the EU will have female politicians, has female members of the country who want this. Cameron doesn't even necessarily have to do it himself. He just needs to delegate and get someone to get the ball rolling. I personally don't think it is that big of an issue to solve if it's such a simple problem,
and yet there's so much tape to get through to solve it.
The most stupid thing about it is the term VAT. I mean, it's used for the term is luxury items. You cannot describe tampons and stuff like this as luxury.
Luxury meat without VAT, and then tampon.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Well, it seems ridiculous given that they call it luxury items, which they charge it for, and yet something with the word luxury in isn't charged. That's surely.
Welcome back, everybody. For our last story tonight, we have Beth, who's filling us in on a story about a new BBC documentary.
Well, next Monday at 9 p.m, the BBC will air a documentary called Is This Rape? Sex on Trial, the premise of which aims to discover what British teenagers understand about rape and consent. The programme, which will be presented by Will Best, will show viewers a fictional rape scenario of a sexual encounter between a teenage girl and a teenage boy. After the clip is shown, a studio panel of 24 teenage boys and girls, as well as the watching public audience, will be asked to discuss what the footage showed and come to a conclusion as to whether the woman gave her consent or the clip did constitute rape. The decision to air the documentary has received a mixed response, with some praising the BBC for raising awareness over the confusion that still exists surrounding consent, whilst others have vocally criticised the programme as if it is handled insensitively, it could raise extreme distress for victims of rape. Katie Russell, a spokesperson from Rape Crisis, has criticised the premise of the documentary, telling The Express, "If this is not responsibly handled, particularly with the public vote element, it has the potential to upset rape survivors and make them less likely to seek support." The BBC have defended the documentary, saying it can't be judged until it is aired and they will handle the issue sensitively. So, is this insensitive or is this a bold and bright move by the BBC? The idea of a group of strangers judging something from the outside that has the potential to be so distressing and traumatising to an individual certainly sounds alarming, but at the same time, the issue of rape and consent is problematic amongst the youth, with a recent TAB survey finding one third of student responders claimed it is okay to make jokes about rape. So what do you reckon? Is this documentary a good idea?
I think it's nice to see the BBC going out of their comfort zone and doing something that I think everyone would agree is very risky. But personally, I think even as a principal, I don't think this show is going to work. I think there's too much of a risk factor and you could end up really, really upsetting someone. Someone could see their own scenario played out and be told by the general public and a studio that that was not rape. I think it's too precarious and I think it could be very dangerous, and the margin for things that could go wrong is huge.
Yeah, I agree with the BBC spokesman that it is too early to say the programme has to be aired for there to be a definitive judgment on it. But one of the points that I've seen raised, and I assume that the 24 people going on the show to decide whether or not it is, are volunteers. They weren't forced to do a show like this. A lot of people are saying, what's the difference between something like this and something like jury duty? You're asked to witness a case. And I don't agree with this, but this is playing devil's advocate. Asked to view a case and decide whether it's guilty or not guilty. So a lot of people are saying, you know, this is something that we'll all have to do at some point in the future, jury duty. And you know, my argument would be that they're on public, they're being seen in front of millions and millions of people on TV and online, so the pressure on them will be greater. But seeing as they volunteered to do it, surely they, you know, they don't mind their judgment being seen all around the world.
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree there, Benedict, that if you are submitting yourself to this process, then you are kind of saying that you are going to not abide by, but listen to what it says and accept that people will have differing opinions. And I assume if it's going to be one scenario, that it's going to be something incredibly contentious and something that isn't going to be a simple dichotomy, that, or isn't even going to have a simple answer. It might be that the conclusion is that people who genuinely think one way or the other think so not because they're deliberately saying something offensive, but because there really isn't a simple yes or no.
I think the issue is, though, this is a fictitious rape scenario, but the chances are it will be representative to at least someone out there. And if the judgment does come back negative, which on a public TV show it very much has a very high likelihood that it could do, if that does come back and this person feels so shamed, it is going to cause this very negative stigma around rape, around consent and around coming forward.
I also think that the only person that can really judge whether it was rape was the victim themselves. And unless you're in the scenario, how can you judge whether someone is crossing that line when you're not the person that's being affected?
Also, they witness the video and they make their decision, and then a top-class barrister comes on and actually gives a definitive answer. For me, say if I say it, one of the people on there says it's guilty and it's found to be innocent, or vice versa, that person might be mocked, might be targeted at school, or, you know, something along those lines. So with them viewing their opinions and then having them told they're completely wrong, that could have a negative effect on them and not only the viewing population.
This is URN. The Pulse Breakdown.